Agenda item number 14, presentation and discussion on fiscal year 2013 financial forecast and strategic plan by Phil Ford, John Halls, and Jim Forte.
All you say a few opening remarks here before we get into the say exactly what it is. A couple of years ago, we had a support members together and we'd come in and work the budget in January and July. They said, you're asking us to approve a multi-million, $50-60 million. And you give us 4 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is, at one board meeting to look at it. So the way out of that was to kind of structure like the city council where you have a first reading and a second reading. Although we modified that, and what we're going to do is say, here are the assumptions that we're using to build this budget. Which means that I'll just give you some we're going to ask the exempt employees, excluding me, I'm not in what we're going to ask for. Had a raise in 3 years. We went back last year to recall, we picked up the hourly workers. We're going to ask for a minimum to do that. And so we're saying we're going to do that. The first slide that whenever John Hoss gets up here, he's going to tell you what we are going to recommend for our system rate. The complexity of trying to plan a budget in this business, in this environment, is truly very difficult. Whenever you put in the 8 years, 9 years, Thanksgiving, when we're going to get SysOps, what year, 20 years, 10 years, it takes a long time. When Alice Creek is the only permitted reservoir in the state, we can't get that through. Folks are running out of water. We are running out of water. And we have got to somehow, whether it be the brackish water that we're trying to get the John Hoffman got up and talked about. But all these things, the politics, the length of time, the permitting, the fight between the state and the EPA, which is ongoing, and all these things are making this very, very difficult. But we can't, we would be doing remiss and derelict of duty if we didn't keep trying. We've got to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing to make this happen. And so the next session, the 13th session, is going to be a water session. What lessons did we learn from the drought? Did we learn enough to do anything about it? Are we going to fund the water plant? Are we? That takes political capital, and that says, okay, boys, I'm standing up and I'm going to increase your taxes by such and such. That dog is very difficult to hunt in most campaigns, so that makes it tough. When do we sell? What do we sell it for? What are the political barriers that's going to happen with giving out the property? When do we sell it? How much do we sell it for? How do you sell it? How can you sell that? Again, we've been there and we're going to do it again. The water plan is not funded. It needs to be funded. And there'll be gridlock. That chart, one of the charts that was fascinating to me today was the one where it had where the guys came and told you about what people thought about water and the education. That was very informative, and particularly it was informative whenever you look and you see the different stratas and what happens there, what people's mindsets are, wherever they live differently in the basin. And whenever you saw on the left-hand side of that slide, if you look at it, all the activities, the water master, there's going to be a fight about water master. I mean, Bell County's already got folks lining up not to like water master. There's some folks down that think they like water master program down in your country. But whenever they see the bill, maybe they will and maybe they won't. The water master really helps you during a drought. But how many times do you have a drought? It's like having money. If you don't have any, well, then money's important. If you don't have any water, water's important. But if you have a bunch of all of them, well, then it doesn't seem to make any difference. So having said that, and you're going to see, as we go through time, we don't increase the rates, and we do that in some cases to try to be prudent in this environment that we're living in today, to try to be prudent. But guess what? there's a balloon payment out there to him. So you ramp that curve up a little less slope than you get whenever you get down the road. We can't do like I think this is a little more difficult time. We can't do like our folks up in Washington do. We can't let our grandkids pay for this. We need to step up and make those difficult decisions to make that happen. So having said that, we're going to give you our best shot at what you think next year. I'll look back and give you this up. Good job.
Next slide.
As Phil said, I'm going to give you the answer first here. We're very much still in the middle of the budget process, as you can imagine. We do have some of the preliminary numbers on revenues and expenses have come in. But what we can tell at this point is that we do not anticipate raising the system rate this next year for fiscal 13. As you all know, the current system rate for this year is $62.50. We right now anticipate not changing that rate for 2013, that it would remain at $62.50. That's based on the number of contract units that we anticipate this next year that have to be paid for by the system water. And as you can see, the formula where you divide the requirement with nearly $20 million by the contract units requires a $62.50. I'll show you a little bit of the assumptions associated with it at a high level. So I said the water rate now, this is for a five-year look. So you'll see in a minute, I'll show you, and you received in your material a more detailed schedule that shows that all the way through 2017, based on just the assumptions that we have, that the water rate would either be anywhere from 0 to 6% increase. On the non-system side, one of the main changes is there was a debt paid off at Lake Granbury. Now, this was not something you all authorized. This was just a normal debt that finally reached its, you can see it was a 1972 debt. It was paid off. It had been paid by TXU, so therefore the revenue associated with that goes away, but also the debt service went away. So there's really not an issue. But just to show you how, when you see on the schedule, you can see how the amount went down. Management fee, which is we receive on our contract services, our reimbursable services we have throughout the basin, we do receive a management fee on most all of those. I am receiving one on the SWATS project. Obviously, with the transfer going away, that management fee will go away. It's approximately $250,000 a year. Interest income, we've talked about it. Interest income had low rates. This rate is probably still a little bit high, and we're going to look at that. That may be something we're adjusting. We're still looking at the rates because obviously the rate and the balances are still a little bit fluid right now. So we're looking at that. But the bottom line is interest rates are going to remain very flat for the next several years. Not much of an increase. So that may change slightly there, but that's currently the assumption. Next slide. On the expense side, again, as Phil alluded to, overall the schedule that you all saw really is based on a historical index. That's not what the budget's going to be for 13. The budget's actually a bottom-up budget that we create. We just don't have all the numbers yet to show you what 13 is actually. So we actually show the 13 budget based on just sort of indexing a historical average. Then on the future years, do the same thing just so we can project what the expenses are. But we believe that number that you see on y'all's schedule is at least as much. If anything, the number will probably be less when we get the final budget numbers in and bring them to you in July. A couple of three of the major points there, again, Phil alluded to. On a position, we really have virtually no change in the total position count. We do have one additional full-time position we're recommending. That's a maintenance position at Lake Granbury and a part-time position also. So very little change there. The compensation increases, this is what Phil alluded to. ECI, the Employment Cost Index, based on that, which has been 1% in the last year, is what we're recommending an across-the-board 1% raise for all employee classes, both exempt and non-exempt, then plus a 2% pool that will be distributed on a performance basis. That'll be based on, you know, not necessarily everyone will get that, or some may get more than that, some may get less than that based on our performance reporting and things like that. So a total of a 3% that's in the total pool or in the budget, if you will. The other thing is we are currently converting to a new payroll provider, ADP, which really provides us with a best practices type payroll process. But in order to do that, we need to change our payroll cycle. We are currently in what we refer to as a current payroll cycle, where our, and this is really just about our hourly or non-exempt employees. They currently are paid right up to the day that they're paid. What that prevents you from doing is being able to have their overtime pay and any of their additional pay has to be paid in the subsequent period. And that's clearly not a best practices type thing, but that's what the Brazos River Authority has been doing for all these years. Well, we with this conversion to the ADP, to really get the benefits of the new ADP operation, we really need to convert those employees, the hourly employees, to that. And in order to do that, there is a financial impact that we will incur in this fiscal year, in fiscal 12, because this will be done this summer, this changeover of about $276,000. We will incur an accrued liability that will be set up as a one-time entry. Now, the payout of that liability will not actually occur until those individual employees. And there's about 100, I want to say there's about a 150 to 170 employees that are impacted by this, but they will that payout will be paid out as those employees leave the authority over the next however 10, 20, 30 years and stuff. So that's where the cash impact will occur. But that allows us to migrate to a really much better best practices where our pay will be timely and will represent their actual hours worked and things like that. So that's one of the changes we're putting. Hydroelectric, as we all know, the decommissioning. There is still some dollars that will continue to incur to some extent on some regulatory things that may not be from FERC, but will also be from TCEQ and stuff associated with some reporting. It's minimal types of things, but there's still some costs there. So where you see costs there, that's really what that's attributed to and stuff. Next slide. Continuation expenses. We talked about this earlier on the debt service side. There's been a number of debt issuances that you all have authorized to be paid off, as we've already discussed. Back in 11, it was 2001 A and B. This current year, you already authorized 2005 A in the Lake Aquila, as I discussed. You earlier this meeting authorized 2002. That's going to happen, and then I mentioned also. Pursuant to Director Tesh's question about 2014. In 2014, we have another 2005B that we potentially, we're not certainly asking for any recommendation. It'll depend on conditions at that time, but that's another debt issuance that has a relatively high interest rate relative to our reinvestment rate we may look at that time. And that's actually, I show that out there on the forecast as if we would pay it off, but that would be subject to determination then. Capital improvement projects, we're still very much working on our CIP on all the projects. You saw that this year we had originally a number of projects we're doing. We're going to do about two-thirds in dollars of probably what we projected. Most of that will roll into 13 at that particular point. Yes.
Let me make a point here, too. The dam at PK is getting old. The dam at Granbury is getting old. The dam at Limestone this past, 2 months? Yeah, in the last 2 months, we found pinpoint, about the size of a dime, rusted holes through some of the infrastructure over there that we're right now we're just going to put a patch on. And we found two. But eventually, we're going to have to get into this capital improvement program and go in there and do some major renovation to make that maintenance last, make that dam last longer. So those type of things we're going to have to work as well.
Exactly. Next slide. On the working capital side, which is really our reserves, if you will, and I'm not being redundant here, but obviously when you pay off debt, you reduce your debt service on the expense side, but you also pay down your reserves, and that's what the point of this was, just summarizing what we've already talked about, which was the pay down of our reserves and stuff. So you've already seen that. Next slide. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to talk, as I mentioned, about the five-year look, and then Jim will get up here and talk about the longer-term look in the plan there. Next slide. This is a summary of the schedule that you all have in more detail in your materials, but just summarizes some of the line items. Again, you can see the revenues or but the revenue line. We first see the beginning reserve lines where we start up, and of course, as if you notice, this particular year 12, we're spending our reserves down fairly significantly, primarily due to debt repayment. That is the right thing to do, but it is spending some of our reserve monies down. You can see on the revenue side the escalation of revenues. That's based on looking at our water contracts primarily and what's happening with our water contracts. Not much changes there until you get out to 2015 and 2016, and then 2017 you can begin. They start ramping up, and that's because we have some utility contracts we may have mentioned before that, in fact, in 2016, we have about 25,000 acre feet of water that comes off of utility contracts, which were fixed price negotiated contracts back then that paid for Lake Limestone, the building of Lake Limestone, that will come off of there, and we anticipate they will go to system rate. They're currently paying in the teens right now, and you know, $16 an acre foot is the effective price that because they were just paying the O&M and debt service cost of limestone. The bonds have been paid off at limestone, so they're just paying the O&M cost. So they're looking, those utility companies are looking at significant price increases starting in 2016 if they recontract for that water, and we certainly anticipate they'll do so at system rates. So that's where the first jump is, and then 17 is another big jump where, again, our utility companies have a $83,000 contract that's a Lake Granbury based that also comes off of an O&M based contract into a system rate. So there's some significant revenue changes out, but they're still about four years out ahead of us there. Expenses are just pretty much going fairly steady because, again, they're based on a historical indexing right now at this particular point. You can begin to see, obviously, we have to meet certain debt service coverage. Now, the debt service has been amended based on the payoff of some of the debt. So we, even though it looks like that some of those have leveled off in those out years where it's $2.8 million to $2.7 million, they were actually projected to go up. There was some debt service where we were actually going to be paying off more principal in some of those out years. So that would have gone up, but it's leveled off because we've paid off some of the debt that you all have authorized. So that's what. And then you can look down at capital projects. You can see a significant expenditure in this year, and then there's still going to be some of that's going to roll into next year, and then it'll continue. And out here where you see a lot lower capital projects in 15, 16, 17, doesn't mean we're probably going to have more expenditure when we get out to those years, but that's to be determined, obviously.
John, yes. The end in reserves, is there a number that we don't fall below because of financial reasons or because that coming down so far?
Yes, coming down so far. Yeah. Very, very good question. We have historically always stayed just in a real number sense, not because it was a target necessarily, but it was a real number sense. We usually stayed north of $20 million or something like that back. Obviously, we took the big jump up with the PK divestiture funds. This contemplates, obviously, based on this, and that's primarily a lot of it's the debt repayment. If you go down, if you repay that $8.6 million out in 2014, brings that down. But it does predict going down there. We are still well within our reserves policy. You all adopted a reserve policy that has a 90-day working capital, and then we have a $5 million contingency fund. Then we have a self-insurance fund. All those added together is still in excess of about $12 million. So we're still in excess of that number. So that would be the floor, so to speak. So yes, it is lower, and that's something we'll certainly look at as we go out. And if we need to get back in the market and borrow monies in some of those years to do that, then we'll do so. Of course, rates I think will be lower than what we just paid off. So it'd actually be more economical to do that.
What is our required or minimum debt coverage ratio?
1.3 is what the board, the bond covenants themselves, are a 1.1 is what the actual bond covenants require. Our board adopted 1.3 to give us more of a cushion, a more conservative. Our bond rating agencies, not surprisingly, really like that situation. It helps us with our ratings, which obviously brings us lower interest rates. So 1.3 is the coverage ratio. So we basically have to, for every dollar of debt coverage we have to pay, we have to raise an extra 30%.
So if we went to anywhere near our 1.3, like at 1.5 or something, it would probably improve our capital reserve, but it's just not fiscally wise to do that, given the higher interest rates that we're paying off.
Right.
What we're getting for our capital.
We get, exactly. We get questioned at our water customer meetings. We have been questioned in the past by some of our water customers in some of our cities about our coverage ratio and stuff. And, well, could you lower it and bring it down? Well, we could. We just don't believe that's the prudent thing to do in the long term, from a rating standpoint and overall interest rate standpoint. And we feel comfortable that 1.3 is a good number. So, at this point. So anyway, you also see, of course, 12. We've already talked about it in a previous the agenda item. We talked about paying the debt off, about the SWATS transfer monies coming out and the interruptible sales. Now, one of the things that's not contemplated on here, I do have interruptible sales of $4 million in 12, but we really don't have any significant interruptible sales. Water sales numbers in future years. But, of course, that's very much subject to climate conditions and where the board authorizes interruptible water to be sold in future years and stuff. So we're being pretty conservative. So as a practical matter, I think there's going to be some revenue that's not up there that we'll probably end up getting in some of those out years. But, it, you know, we're not going to project it, I guess is what I'm saying at this particular point. So we're just going to count what we know we have. We do have some interruptible sales in 13, 14 where we actually have hard contracts, but we're not projecting any that we don't have under contract. Any questions? I think that's next slide. I think that was the end of. Oh, well, this just shows the system rate projection as a result of that. Again, showing no change in 13, a slight change in 14, a little bit more of a change in 15 and 16 and 17. Again, those will be subject to when we get out to those years what really will happen. But nevertheless, a nominal change, and that's where you can see, Director Tesh, the debt service coverage that we maintain at 1.3.
I thought you were proposing a rate increase in 2013, no?
No, sir. No, sir. Just
why? Everything we do costs more.
Well, we paid off, really the reason the payoff of the debt reduced our debt service and has allowed our debt service expense to go down pretty significantly by nearly $2 million this next year. Now, we do have expense increases, the compensation and various other, and as Phil was alluded to, we put $1 million of expense in there just at PK to begin an expanded sort of maintenance program at PK on some of the dam related stuff. So we're really beginning to increase the funding on maintenance. So we're using that, but even in using that, we don't require that we're going to raise our rates.
Two things to answer your question. One is that in this business, we can be accused of having too large of a reserve. Why are you building up your reserve and people out there are struggling to make customers? So we could raise it, but the logic was, as we talked about it long and hard, was let's go one more year and try to keep the rates down to where the customers don't have to pay as much or pay an increased rate.
Well, I guess I'm not going to disagree with you, but do these customers realize what LCRA is charging for water or Trinity Authority's charging for water? We're cheap.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We're cheap.
Inexpensive.
Yeah. But we do have to. We do have to. And they ask the questions. We do have to justify because our rate from a standpoint of our cost structure. And quite frankly, this next year, as Phil said, our cost structure can support no rate increase. Now, future years, I think you will see some.
Carolyn was on the board whenever we went 15%, 15%, 15%, and somebody says, why? And he says, because we can't. We made a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
And so we came back and we said, okay, we're justifying now. We put some money into, we built a program that fixed to show you that says we can justify. You look in our books are open, and this is what we're doing, and we're trying to be prudent.
And also, we're here to serve the state, and we are as low as we are because we can. And that's more consistent with our mission as long as we've got the capacity to keep performing. So, I mean, I come from a profit-making mentality, too, and I had to redo my thinking.
You know, well, I don't mind making a profit, but I come from a water-starved area, and I don't have a water is, and it ain't going to get any cheaper.
No, sir.
And it's going to get harder to find.
Yeah. We'll fix and show you.
Let me just lay some background for you. This is obviously we make our money off selling water, and this is kind of a graphic depiction of our water portfolio. The red bar is our system rate contracts. Those are the ones that we have pricing discretion over. The blue bar are non-system contracts, and I'll give a little bit more detail on those in a second. But you can see here in 2013 and for about the last 5 or 6 years, those lines have stayed parallel. As John mentioned, in 2015, 2016, we start to see that that ratio shift to where we have more units under the system rate than we do at non-system rate. The gray line is the inventory that we have in hand, and we have no water. We've told you that several times in the past. The black line above there is our permitted diversions, and hopefully in 2014, 2015, as we talked about this morning, we will get our system operation permit, and that supply will increase pretty significantly. I will tell you, though, that in all our forecasts that we use in this presentation, we assume the sale of none of that water. So we are heavily conservative when it comes to forecasting that. Next slide, Nancy. This is looking at our contracts. The gold lines, gold bars are what John was talking about, the utility contracts that essentially were for to construct Lake Limestone and Lake Granberry. Those start expiring in 2015, 2016, then ultimately fully expire in 2028 or so. The blue bars are what we call two-tier contracts. Those are significantly sub-market contracts that came out of the negotiations of the rate case that we had back in 92. The current price that those people pay for water that's reserved but not taken is somewhere in the neighborhood of $12.50 an acre-foot compared to our $62.50 an acre-foot for our system rate. And you can see those were 50-year contracts. They don't expire until 2041, 2042. And we have very little price adjustability over those contracts, so they're there to stay.
What is our blended rate now?
Blended rate, have we calculated the blended rate, John? Go ahead, Nancy. This is our capital improvement program. And it's responsive to essentially the state water plan and projects that that we have been assigned to as sponsor or that we assume that we're going to undertake. I suggest that this will probably change. We just started the planning cycle for the 2016 water plan, and with the 2011 drought hopefully heavy in our minds, you're going to see some project probably move forward on this calendar. Roughly $2 billion worth of projects. The majority of it is in new water. And if you go to the next slide, kind of a graphic depiction. these three bumps that you see here in 2016, 2021, and 2026 and 30, that's Trinity, and Allen's Creek. I show you those to compare them out here when we go full bore Carrizo groundwater. The relative expense of bringing that groundwater over to our part of the basin as opposed to even building what we think is a pretty expensive project, a total cost of about $250 million for Allen's Creek, our share and Houston's share together. But you can see it's heavily back-end loaded, and we're going to look at our forecast for our rates, and you'll notice that our rate curves are heavily back-end loaded, and that's pretty significantly why.
Part of the groundwater issue is that because there's the rules are so much up in the air, you can't come to y'all and say, okay, if we make it this investment, we'll be able to get this much water. We can't tell you how much water we're going to get. So that's why we're betting whistling by the graveyard for right now, trying to let that mature a little bit before we get there.
This next slide is our what we call our dashboard, and this is the output coming out of our long-range financial plan. And I'll go through each one of them individually. This first one is kind of blends two or three different things together. And John talked about the indices that we use for forecasting our O&M costs, and even though that's a nicely smooth-looking line, we use different indices to forecast different commodities and different expenses. We just don't take a CPI or a producer price index, but we apply different factors to salaries and wages, to chemicals, to electricity, and so on. It just happens to produce right now a fairly smooth line, but that's because you have these indices, some of which are contradictory and some of which are comparable. the green line is non-system revenue, and of course that's the balancing amount that we look at, is how much has to go into the system rate compared to the units that we price under our system rate in order to make us financially whole. And again, a shorter time scale for our capital projects. The blue bars are those things that we are cash funding, and you can see 2012, and it's 20 some odd million dollars. And this bump here, as you get out into 2021, 22, 23, is Allen's Creek. We've got it into our model. You see, we plan on cash funding a portion of that and debt funding a portion of that. And part of that debt funding is and these defeasances that John's been talking about is opening up room in our portfolio for us to layer in more debt and layer it in a little bit more efficiently than we might have otherwise.
But in common sense, if we have another drought to start to happen this summer, we're going to want to have the flexibility to move that to the right and go work and whisper in Houston's ear and say, boys and girls, you can't wait. You have got to move out to be able to satisfy the needs of the lower base.
This next chart is coverage, and it's pretty simplistic. All of our balancing comes to bring our coverage calculation to 1.3 times for budgeting purposes. We've had some customers say, well, why don't you let that float and let that vary? Well, all you have to do is bust coverage one time, and the municipal bond market's never going to forget it. So we encourage you to sustain that as a policy, because that's what is going to protect our bond ratings and our ability to finance our capital projects into the future. Next slide. This is the graph that we showed you for 2012. You can see it stays fairly flat out into about the 2020-2021 range and starts to increase up as we start loading in Allen's Creek and some of that debt issuance. Next slide. This is what the 2013 line would have looked like without some of the defeasances that we've been recommending to you. And as we go through a couple more of these slides, Nancy, here the defeasance that you approved today, that's the implication of it, bringing that green line down a little bit lower. And then the one that John suggested to you out in 2014, and the other ones that we have available to us brings it down to that red line. And so that becomes essentially our forecast line for 2013. It's a little higher than it was in 2012, but we're starting to see some things a little more clearly. But again, you can see that hockey stick look to it. Again, is a creature of our long-range financial plan and our capital projects and all those projects being back and loaded. But as you can imagine, if those projects start moving to the left, you're going to fill in some of that slope as we get out there. This is a preliminary look. We bring this back to you in July, but I can answer any questions that you might have, or try to.
I take it if we get really fortunate on the groundwater thing that we're going to be testing, that's pretty capital intensive too, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, even if we find that we're going to have a lot of water there, it's getting it out, getting it up, out, and distributed.
Right. It's about $5 million a hole from what we've seen from our initial estimate from our consultants. And like I say, so six wells over the next 10, 12 years is roughly $40 million. We get 8,000 acre-feet of water saleable out of that. That's
so that'd probably have an upward impact, even if we find an abundance of it, it'd have an upward impact on our rate. I guess the good part is we'd have more water available, but still, it's not going to do much to hold our price down, is it? Or
The great thing about our system is we're creeping up to where we're going to have almost 400,000 units of water sailing at our system rate, and you can bring a pretty sizable expense into a 400,000 unit base and not make a lot of impact. You look at, I'm not sure how Houston's going to finance their share of Allen's Creek. We're going to take our third and lay it across 400,000 units, and our per unit cost will probably be significantly lower in a synthesized per unit cost than the city of Houston's cost will be.
Yes.
I was going to just respond to the question about the blended rate. Our blended rate, if you divide all of our units that we have under contract by our total revenues, is between $42 and $43. So that brings it down from 62. You can see that all these old contracts, what it does. And that also includes our Colorado water. That includes the water we buy from LCRA, which we resell. That's actually at a higher price.
But, what are we paying LCRA?
We pay their reserve rate, which is approximately, let's see, it's about, 75-something. It's 75.50 or something like that is their reserve rate. Plus, we pay a 25% surcharge on that, which is that no net loss.
$5.50 an acre foot?
Yes, that's a reserve rate. If you actually take water, you pay two times that rate. Pay $150 an acre foot if you actually take the water. We haven't taken, of course, no one's taken that water.
How is there availability these days?
The availability of that water? The
Colorado River, yeah.
Zero.
They have a goal to go out and trying to get, Becky said, the 100,000 acre feet in the next, 5 years? Other questions?
In July, we'll certainly be bringing back, the detailed presentation.
Anything else?